was prayed before. And we're going to talk about this again this morning, that they'll know we're Christians by our love. I mean, that's supposed to actually be actually measurable, visible, palpable. Like Stanley Tamara, like you guys just set the bar this morning with that. That's the best ever call to worship. Yeah, I mean, palpable. That's how God loves us. And that's how we are to express his love then to others, right? Especially thankful for you folks to pray for me before starting here, because, it's maybe we need to do something else in between that announcement about the last meal and the farewell and all that and preaching, because it's like, oh, just one more song, worship team, just one more song, get my composure back, because this is really hard. But there's a sense of the rightness of God, that this is his will, that he's said these things at this time and has set things to be like this, because this is what he wants to have happen. And we will all be far better off by saying yes to God's will, right? I mean, this is the basic discipleship. Jesus came. We're celebrating his table today. He lived that life of God in the midst of people. Flawless. Astonishingly sinless. Sin-free. Did not sin. Yet went to the cross. Did all that finished work. Oh, and he wasn't done yet. Not by a long shot. Raised up. Steve Colby's best ever Epiphany Sunday message on the resurrection. Come on! Raised up! And then ascended to be by the right hand of the Father, ever living to intercede for us. It's happening right now. It's happening. We do not get it of what's happening, but we see such a small little bit about what's happening. Our worship this morning is part of this extraordinary choir that is surpassingly amazing. And one day, in the presence of God, we will hear it in fullness. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Well, for those that were unable to be here last week, because there's a sense that these last few Sundays here are truly, for me personally, like so urgent. This is the last go at it, you know, and it's the last go at it. And these are the things I really, really strongly feel that the Lord would want you to please get. There will be more preaching to come. There will be more of the Lord to come. It's coming. But as it were, before I bid you farewell from this vantage point, there's these things I pray that you get, because this is the stuff that the Lord has so deeply burdened me with. So a quick 30-second recap, looking back, as this all builds on each other, that we literally would be this people who are the people of the blessing. Blessing is the central theme of Scripture. Blessing is the central theme. Mission is the central calling. Mission extends the blessing. Hospitality is the central means of doing the mission. Blessing, mission, hospitality. And if, like I was trying to emphasize, hopefully this is working, like we have problems with words. Hospitality, and we gotta just get out of our minds our reductionist view that hospitality is simply fine dining dinner parties. Or the hospitality ministry is the coffee stand at in the lobby. You know, that is just so not what God is talking about in the fullness. And in these weeks, we're going to try to really get this. For the rest of your life, you get a full view of what hospitality is. And it is massive. There's that popular Western view of hospitality is the dinner party. There's then, even going way back, the classical and even biblical understanding of hospitality is this protecting of your kinfolk, the sense of protecting the stranger that you come across. This is something that is classically, biblically true. But then, with the coming of Christ, it goes to a whole nother level, and that's the divine hospitality. The divine hospitality. And that's what we want to focus on this morning, divine hospitality. When Romans 12:13 says, practice hospitality, well, we figure it must be that it doesn't come automatically to us. You know, there's a lot of things, I'm sure the word, you could, in going through scriptures, it could say practice this, practice that, but why is it to say practice hospitality specifically? Well, it's because this is something that requires a lot of practice, and over time, you start to get more and more on track with God's heart, and it becomes less and less something you actually have to struggle or make yourself get, because it becomes part of who you are, right? So the sense of hospitality as a way of living, that you would, again, one last thought from last week, you would no more have merely dinner parties. You would no more just think, I'm merely eating with someone. That would be the last time you would think like that. Because as you meet with people, as you're eating with people, as you're connecting with people, as you're having coffee with people, as you're running into people, whether people you know or people that you're now getting to know, God is in the middle of it, and he wants to pour out his Holy Spirit's gifting, that he would be glorified in the middle of it, that stuff would happen, that there would be the work of hospitality. And we're going to dig into that now from Colossians 1 and verse 15. If you do not own a Bible, we would love to give you one. There's a bunch in the lobby. They're good hardcover ones that'll last you for a good long time. If you have one with you, either electronically or old school, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, talking about Jesus Christ. You know, if I'm going to go out preaching with my gloves on, we're going to talk about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Wait, there's more. He's the head of the body, the church. As we're agreeing together in the prayer room and the lounge this morning. Come early. It's getting better. We're almost hit 10 people this morning. Like it's getting better every week. Come early and pray. The prayer went out, Lord, let our understanding of what the church is be so much more than a building with hard pews or soft single seats. Jesus is the head of the church. It's coming back for the church, not for the buildings. He's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile, underline that word either with a pen or in your mind, reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled, underscored again, you by Christ's physical body through death to present you wholly in his sight. Do we need to just pause and go, wow? To present you wholly in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Whatever happened this week, whatever happened in your life that you think cannot be forgiven, that there couldn't be enough grace to cover, the Lord says yes. And then we're challenged. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel which you heard and that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. My brothers, my sisters, the heart of hospitality is God's work of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. I pray that, like last week, you would think, I'm not just eating with someone, we're not just having coffee. God is up to something. And I pray that this week we could now connect together the sense of hospitality and reconciliation. for the rest of our lives to never let these two thoughts go away from each other, because it's supposed to be this. Hospitality is reconciliation ministry. The heart of hospitality is God's work of reconciliation in and through Jesus Christ. We love because why? Because he first loved us. We're going back to kindergarten, as it were. But, you know, as sometimes these most important things we can just completely start to disregard. He loved us so much. He loved creation so much. He loved the world so much that the Father sent the best. Not withholding anything. Hans Bersma, who is up at Regent College and amongst other places, he's written a book on hospitality and atonement. I almost feel like I should get a gold star for reading that book. Anyone made it through that whole book? Come on, David Lott. Okay, you and me, man, gold stars. But it preaches when he gets talking about Jesus, hey? Our hospitality makes sense in light of God's prior hospitality towards us. God has come to us in Christ to invite us into his presence so that we might have eternal fellowship with him. It is the cross. Okay, this isn't just some quote. It is the cross, perhaps more than anywhere else, that we see the face of the divine host, the true love of God. And that's inspired. That's inspired. It's in the cross, perhaps more than anywhere else, that we see the face of the divine host, the true love of God. Divine hospitality, hospitality as reconciliation. Reconciliation is atonement. Atonement, someone pointed out a while ago, is at one meant. Atonement. Now we can start to think, oh, that is a big theological term, a controversial one in these times. There are books written and books written and books written, but let's get ourselves back to the fact that it is all supposed to be about people becoming reconciled with God and reconciled with one another because of what God has done. At one meant. People can actually have peace with God. Thought there might be an amen there. People can actually have peace with God. Amen. You can personally have peace with God. And last Sunday, I asked the Lord in prayer that each of you, each of us, would have a chance to share Christ with someone this week. I hope you had that opportunity. The Lord delivered someone across my path that I was able to sit them with. These things of God, and to talk about, they're from a Buddhist background. Talk about the difference of the Buddhist school of philosophy, where you just never, ever, ever can have peace. And the promise of Christ for peace. And to be able to share that, and to be able to tell them, as they're an Asian person, to be able to say, I grew up in the church in Canada, and you know, growing up sitting on hard pews and wondering when it's going to be over, kind of thing, and kind of missing a lot of what was really the joy of the gospel, and then coming in to experience that personally. Do you know where that really happened for me? It was in Asia. As I met Christians in China who had suffered and lost everything for Christ, and they, this one guy, I'm sure he's with the Lord now because he was old when I met him, and he physically bore the suffering for Christ. He was beaten, deprived for Christ. You could see it on him. And in his eyes was the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. You know, here I thought I was some smug Christian kid who knew it all, and I was like, oh, I'm undone. I'm so undone. This is someone who's walked with God. Okay, I think I'm understanding a little bit more about what it means to be a Christian. I shared with this person about taking Bibles from Hong Kong into China and seeing miracles. Absolutely seeing miracles, as the border guard cannot see the Bibles in my backpack that are like literally a big brick. And I'm looking at, and the border guard is like, "What? I don't see anything." I'm like, "That's impossible! Like, can't you see them?" And the border guard's going, "What? I just get out of here. I don't know what's going on." You know, it's like, I'm like, okay, this is not just real biblically. This is real, like real. Oh, what a privilege to be able to share this story with people, hey? Because Christ died for all. This whole thing about atonement is so deep and so complex, and there's been metaphors and models being put forward, and for especially the Regent College students in the midst, remember, this is something to pull in from our home group this week. We saw a video devotional by a fellow who's talking about the stuff that can become all about arguments and theories and positing doctrines, and we can totally forget we're talking about people. And when he said that, I think our whole group was so cut to the quick, because we can all want to get in our corner about what we think is the right way to look at this view or that view, and forget the fact that what's hanging in the balance is the lives of people. Atonement is all about people being made to be reconciled with God. So I would include all the models and metaphors that I can find, including sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, the purchase that freed us from the penalty of the law, the victory of Jesus over Satan and over death, the punishment that was borne for all of mankind, the cleansing that has happened, nullifying the offense of sin. Why do we have to choose the model? Isn't it that they're actually better together? Colossians 1, some quick comments, because this is where we find our bearings. Jesus is the one. When God, a couple weeks ago, we talked about God coming before Moses and speaking his name, and he said, the way that God presented himself to Moses, Moses said, "Well, how will I be able to introduce you to the people so that they will know that I've met with you?" "Well, just tell them my name, I am." Like, we need to have, like, the biggest gavel in the world coming on the table with that one, right? I am. Case closed. No argument. So, describing Jesus, Colossians 1 says, "He is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, so that in him he is, and in him all things were created." Because he is, notice it's not he was. He is before all things. And in him, he is in him. He is before all things. So in him, all things hold together. Yeah, sometimes you need to slow down as you're reading scripture and go, like, this is really amazing. Because it is literally that he is before all things, so therefore all things in him hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So he's the firstborn among all creation. Now he's the firstborn from among all the dead. This is the one who is now coming to bring eternal life, because in him all the fullness of God dwells. Verse 20, it switches grammar to through him. He has reconciled, he has atoned to him through himself all things. Verse 20, through him he's reconciled to himself all things. Reconciliation is atonement. So that now he has reconciled, he's atoned you, he being God the Father, by Christ's physical body. And then lastly, the word faith, that all this stands firm. You know, this isn't yet my last Sunday, that'll be soon enough, but already I want to be saying how I'm praying for you personally and for this church to stand firm. I mean, you really, really, really want to get me depressed. After we leave, give up the faith, walk away. I mean, come on. This is to be all about going forward, standing firm. Others will come and will lead. The Lord will be glorified. You need to stand firm. Stand firm, which is an ever-deepening faith. You know, last week I asked, anyone got enough joy? You know, you don't need any more, right? And everyone's like, oh, that's really, no, we need more joy. Well, how about faith? You got enough? Like, you don't need any more? Got enough faith? Anyone's, you know, kind of like tapped up, you know, I'm good. I could use more. More faith, deepening, bearing fruit for God's glory in our midst. Stand firm, established, not moving from the hope. Do not abandon the faith. Do not abandon this church. Do not abandon the calling to love one another. Please, for the love of God, stand firm because of His love. Divine hospitality. The host who welcomes sinners to be reconciled then sends us to be hosts of His presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is from God who reconciled us to Himself. Every time you see reconciliation, you think of hospitality. Think of atonement. When you look up in your theological dictionary, reconciliation, you come up with atonement. He reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of atonement. We have the ministry of hospitality. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Blessing, the central theme. Mission, the central calling. Hospitality, the central means. As we turn to the Lord's table, what Jesus did of taking the bread connects the whole idea of the Passover meal. Of that that remembering of the people of God, of the work that was done, the time when God freed people from Egypt, and there was that Passover meal. So as time went on, what Jesus actually enacted with the disciples would have been, it was great to remind myself of this, reading about the Jewish tradition at that time that Jesus was enacting, that Jesus was speaking, because they would have had all around Jerusalem at that time, and certainly around wherever the people were scattered, families gathering to have their Passover meal. And it would go like this. First of all, there would be a cup of wine to inaugurate the meal. Now, in a few moments, we'll talk about exactly Jesus saying this. But again, so the typical Jewish family at Passover would be gathering to have this Passover meal, and it would start with this inaugural glass of wine. And then there would be this second cup poured to evoke the memory. And at this point in time, the question would be asked, why are we doing this? Why are we taking this meal? And the answer would come to tell the story of the deliverance from slavery and from Egypt. This is why we're doing this, and that there was the Passover, that there was the lamb, the many lambs that were slain, the blood that was put on the doorpost so that the people of God would live. And then the host would take the bread, this might sound familiar, and would give thanks, and would break it, and would pass the bread around. That would initiate the meal, and then they would eat the meal, and then there would be the cup at the end, to have this completion of the meal. And then Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, do what exactly? See, there's layers here. Like he's literally saying, eat this now. Do this. Like, come on. Come to the, you guys are, you know, it's, as someone was recently saying, like, why were they all sitting on just that same side of the table when someone took a picture? You know, like, however they were sitting, Jesus passed the cup. Jesus broke the bread and said, now, well, do this in remembrance of me. So literally they are looking at Jesus, eating the bread and drinking the cup on the spot. And he also means eat like this going forward. So in the book of Acts, I remember the day, as it were, that all of a sudden I went, oh, this is that. Because I always wonder, like, we read sometimes scripture so much separated from it, the story itself. You know, as we open up the Bible here, we open up the Bible there, and you open up the Bible in Acts, and there they all are eating together again and again, breaking bread together. There's joy. They're in each other's homes. There's joy. They're breaking bread again. But if you don't actually, first of all, read Luke first, Luke, Acts are supposed are the same book, part one, part two. Well, all the way through, Luke is recording Jesus at the table with people, feeding people. He feeds 5,000 in this same way. And this is something I absolutely feel that is on God's heart for us to get this morning before we take this table fellowship. See, when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, he took that which was at hand. You know, it's a great story. His discipleship training his disciples. And they're on the spot, as he says, feed them. The right answer is, okay, Jesus, how do we do it? Now, instead, they start getting out the calculators and figuring out how much money it would take and that it's impossible, and they're away from the store anyway in the middle of nowhere. And so it's like, okay, so what do you have? What can you bring? Well, it's not actually very much. But that which is brought to Jesus. And I feel this is such a moment for all of us to be freshly presenting ourselves. Everything we can bring. You know, at the end of the day, we're not that much. But precious to the Lord. And he takes it. And he gives thanks. He gives thanks. And he breaks it. And multiplies it. And much rejoicing comes. Much rejoicing comes as that hospitality, that which is given, that which is in hand, is then thanked, given in gratitude, and thanked, and broken, and distributed, and it feeds so many, nourishes so many. Because this is exactly who Jesus is. He's the host, and he himself is the meal. Jesus himself is the meal. And he says, come. To actually not hunger or thirst should be a worrisome sign. If you keep waking up every day thinking, oh, I'm actually not hungry, I'm not thirsty, should actually be telling you that you're not well. Because we always are made to be hungry. We talked about that last week. We had just had a banquet the night before, a bunch of us, and yet, boy, we're hungry the next day. Funny though that may seem, that is actually a sign of life. And that this would be the spiritual vitality. I sent out that picture for those of you that get the e-bulletin of that gas gauge nearing empty. Is, you know, does that speak to your spiritual life? We always need to be freshly filled with the fullness of Christ. And there's something about this meal being the beautiful, not just a picture, not just a metaphor, but literally the coming together of the people of God. A portion of the people of God from all around the world, but coming to share of the hospitality of the divine host. Well, I truly, truly pray that today, that for the rest of your life, your vocabulary has been tuned up Hospitality is about reconciliation. Reconciliation is only found in the atonement. The atonement is done. It's finished. It comes back through hospitality. To be enjoyed, to be received, to be freshly nourished. And that the Holy Spirit would freshly fill you then to be an agent of reconciliation. Typically, we invite our worship team to assemble themselves and to lead us. But how about this week we can just all partake together? I've asked Soli to prepare a song that I've come across that has just been blessing me and blessing me and blessing me each time I listen to it, of the call of God that goes to His creation to come. Would you listen to this song, please? Allow the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart. Together we will receive. And then together we'll listen to the Spirit as He leads us as to what's next. Well, let's listen together.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love Him, longing for a child that will give Him all, give it all. He wants it all. And there's a God that wants over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give Him all, give it all. He wants it all. And He says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And He says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me. Life now, He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. So give it all. There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love Him, longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all. He wants it all.
Before the service started, we especially prayed for, even if it would be just one person who'd be coming in today, needing to have their hearts set right with God. Even for the first time to say, Jesus, okay, I give up. You win, I give you my life. And as even that one person says that, you're welcome to this table. We'd love to meet you after and be able to point you on the path, but saying yes to God enables you to receive of this table fellowship. And that for all who, whether days, weeks, months, or years, or decades, have been walking with God, that there would be a fresh sense of consecration. A fresh recognition that Jesus paid it all. And he bids us come die. And in joining him in his death, we join him in his resurrection, and his fullness is then poured into our lives so that we have it all. Nothing short of everything that we need to live. What a deal! Thank you, Lord. So with that sense of joy, we say, yes, Lord, we'd come and receive from your table. I'd like to invite four individuals or couples or families. You're part of the church. You'd like to come and help service. Come forward and help serve. The tray on this end is entirely gluten-free. Please come if you can help serve this morning. And then as people come to serve, please come to help serve. Thank you. Just make your way down. And for those serving, say, this is the body of Jesus broken for you, his blood poured out for you. Take one of the pieces of bread and dip it in to the juice. Go back to your seat and then wait, and then we'll partake together as one community. But please come and receive. He's paid it all.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him all, give it all. He wants it all. And there's a God that wants over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him all, give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me. Life now, he wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. Yeah. today. You need it all today. So give it all. There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for